Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for investors and business owners looking to save on taxes and build long-term wealth with Toby Mathis, an attorney, author, business owner, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey, this is Toby Mathis with the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast. Today, I have Dave Rafus with us, and this is a really cool organization. This isn't even one that I set up. It just, David, I think, just happened to be in one of our classes, and as we talked and as we learned about him, I said, wow, this is really cool. So I hope you realize that it's not just our clients that we try to help. We try to help anybody. But this is an interesting organization. I'm going to say it hopefully right. OneVeteranFoundation.org. Is that right, Dave? Let's just dive into this. So Dave, first off, welcome.
Thank you.
If you could explain to the listeners and the viewers out there kind of what you do with your organization, what it really, you know, kind of how it came about.
Well, we actually came about 4 years ago, just about. November will be our 4-year mark.
Congratulations.
With my wife and I, we were sitting on the couch and we were watching TV, and the name of One Veteran just popped into my head. And I was like, that would be a really cool name for an organization. So my wife said, well, I know you're not going to stop thinking about it, so go buy the name. So I went online and I bought the name. About 6 months later, a friend of mine and I were out riding our motorcycles, and I started telling him about the idea of One Veteran and the concept of One Veteran. So he asked me why I wasn't doing it. And I said, because it takes money, and it was something I didn't have at the time. The IRS wanted $400 to start our C3, and he goes, well, I have that. And I said, but I don't. And he says, you do now. And he gave me $400 and had his girlfriend, who was a bookkeeper, file our 501c3 on Thanksgiving Day, 2015.
Congrats. Way to go.
Yeah. When she filed it, we got it back in 7 days. I thought it was going to be 6 months. We sat down and we discussed the options of what we wanted to do. And we wanted to help out our local veterans that were struggling and having problems. So we thought, well, let's see if we can help them financially. And let's throw in this thing for service dogs and see how that takes off. Mm-hmm. Because my wife and I had gotten me a dog and found out that nobody in the Southern Arizona area, like Tucson in the South, trained service dogs for vets with PTSD. After looking around for several months, we found a couple organizations, but they were all over the country. They weren't here. But we decided to set up our foundation to train service dogs and help out vets with PTSD locally here in Southern Arizona.
Let's stop right there, because first off, I could see the flag in the background. You obviously looks like Marines.
Yes. Yeah, I did 7 years in the Marine Corps.
And so the PTSD issue, like some people are aware, but some people don't realize is how horrific it is. But you're talking about service members taking their own lives when they come back.
When one of the things we wanted to focus on was post-traumatic stress. Many members, when they come back from serving overseas or serving in the military in high-stress situations, i.e. combat, when they get out, they no longer have their team, and all of the trauma and stress that they went through that was in the back of their mind is now in the front of their mind and is taking over. When we started, we were losing 22 veterans a day to suicide, which was 8,300 a year. We had more veterans killing themselves than were dying in combat.
People got to let that sink in. You're talking about 8,300 service members taking their lives
a year.
Per year.
Yeah. And we've had like around 5,000 or so that have died in Afghanistan and Iraq. If you look at it bigger scale, in Vietnam, we lost over 58,000. So we've lost a substantial number of talented individuals that served our country, put their blood and treasure on the line because they couldn't get the help that they needed or wouldn't accept the help that was there. So with us, with our service dogs, what we do is we don't really call them service dogs, even though they're tagged as service dogs, but we give them a teammate back because mm-hmm. when you get out of the military, the adjustment period can be really, really rough. And
I saw your dog. Is it a he or she?
Manifa?
Yeah.
This is Manifa.
I remember.
She's my service dog. She helps me with some of the stuff that I deal with, which are nightmares and crowd control, so to speak. If I go someplace where there's a huge crowd, I'll take her with me, and she kind of gives me my breathing room in my space so that I don't get too closed in upon. But a lot of people will see her, and then everybody wants to come and see her, and then I don't exist, which is great. But with what we do with our dogs, we've trained approximately 18 to 20 dogs in three and a half, four years. And with that, we haven't had a single suicide. We are down now to 20 veterans a day committing suicide, which is right around 7,000-ish.
Mm-hmm. Which step in the right direction, though.
Yeah, it's about 7,300 a year. So that saves us actually about 730 lives a year of veterans that aren't taking their lives through the work of organizations like ours.
Is it because the veterans just don't want to go get help, don't know how to get help, there's no services available? Why do we have this? I mean, it seems like an epidemic.
Well, it is an epidemic. We've lost so many of our talented young individuals, but a lot of them, when they get out, the military has tried to help alleviate the stress of this problem by creating what they call a TAP class, which is a transitional assistance program. Mm-hmm. The problem is, everybody's, when they're getting out, nobody's paying attention. So they'll sit in this class for a week, and they're given stuff on how to get federal jobs, how to get state jobs, but they're not really given the information on where to go to get the health things that they need. So the military then started getting people pre-registered with the Veterans Administration before they get out. Guys, their pride doesn't allow them to ask for help. So generally what it does is it takes another veteran to kind of get a hold of them, talk to them and say, hey, you know what? You're about to go in through a really tough change, because I used to work with veterans to help them find employment, and they would bring me resumes that were five-star resumes. They'd be written in military language, and nobody understands that in the civilian world. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd have somebody going, well, I'm a professionally trained A4T Echo Charlie, and I can do that. And people are like, okay, what is that? You know, and they get turned down for job after job after job because they don't know how to read their resumes, or they're embarrassed for having to ask for help. It triggers a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. Nighttime for a lot of veterans is really hard because they're totally alone. A lot of veterans will go into the trucking industry or something along that lines because then they can work alone. They don't have to rely on other people. If they have a bad day, they just go and climb in their truck, close the doors, close the curtains in their own world. Mm-hmm. What we do with our dogs is we give them back that team concept, and the dogs are trained to sense and understand when that veteran is having a bad day, and then they draw the attention to the dog, which is where their mind is going. So if, say, somebody served in Fallujah during all of that horrific stuff that was going on, their mind goes back there when they get really down. Well, the dog can sense that there's a problem coming on, and they'll go up and they'll try to play with them, they'll pet them, they'll paw at them, they'll lick their face. And they keep their mind from going dark as much as possible, and bring it back to something that's happy, you know, and that the dog loves them.
I've seen that, by the way. Like, I just want to stop because I know that service dog training, for those who aren't familiar with it, it's about $50,000 to train a dog.
For a PTSD service dog, when we first started, we were going to just go to California and get one. And it was $30,000 for a dog.
It's very, very expensive.
Yes. And then we were like, well, let's go to Florida and check them. $25,000 for a trained service dog or PTSD. So my wife and I contacted one of the local trainers here whose father was in the military. And his experience with service dogs was his father passed away. One of his buddies that came to the funeral had a trained Rottweiler service. Thought that would be really cool for him to be able to get back to our local veterans and to help train service dogs. And he thought it was really unusual that I showed up about 2 weeks, 3 weeks after that funeral at his place of business and discussed working with him. He has given us a deeply discounted rate on training our dogs, and we've had tremendous success. We sat down and wrote our PTSD training program. They follow our programs, our guidelines, the way we do things. And since we've started, like I said, we've done about 18 to 20 service dogs for local veterans. And we've had some good success with it. We had one female veteran that was Air Force who's did a lot of stuff with, I believe it's their OSI or GID, it's their investigative group. And she would go overseas and investigate these murders and go into all these horrific sites. It affected her so deeply that she almost lost her marriage. I actually met her when I was teaching a class when I worked for the state of Arizona, and we started talking, and she asked if I could help her with her dog. Well, I checked out her dog. His name is Tyson. He's pretty comical. He ran for president in the last election on the dog ticket. So he went through our training program, and since then, she has been able to save her marriage. Her and her husband are doing really, really well. They now live in Florida. Her husband is they're called roughnecks. So they work on the oil rigs and the oil platforms.
Yep, roughnecks.
Yep. And she now works with individuals to help rescue dogs in Florida. We have another dog that's in Alabama with an Army veteran that is the smallest dog we've ever trained. I wasn't sure I would train it, but I knew the dog, so we trained them. And they're living in Alabama. He's a scuba instructor now and helps teach people how to be scuba divers. We have one dog that I call my hero dog, and her name is Ruby. She's a German Shepherd. The person that she went to has diabetes. And one morning, when she was asleep, blood sugar bottomed out. Was about to go into a diabetic coma, and the dog kept pounding on the side of the bed. She wouldn't get up, so she jumped up on the bed and started licking her in the face until she got up. She sat up and almost passed out, went and tested her sugar levels and found out that she needed insulin right away and is alive today because the dog was able to get her woken up.
She was alone, probably, right?
Yeah. We have another veteran. He's an amazing guy. He was Special Forces medic. He did many tours overseas, came back and was very heavily self-medicating with anything he could get a hold of.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him. He was about to lose his family. He was about to lose everything. He was going to lose everything. And we started working with him to find him a dog. And we found a puppy that somebody had seen us on a local television station and asked if we'd be interested in it. Mm-hmm. And we already had an older dog, so we thought if we introduce a puppy, it'll probably be better with him. Since we've introduced this dog to him, and the dog has gone through our training, he's gone through our training, and he was the very first dog we ever had that scored 100 on our test. He has...
German Shepherds are this flipping smart.
Well, this one here, he was a Golden Lab Pit Bull mix. And he's a big old baby. The dog is just a big old super baby. And since the two of them have started working together, he applied for nursing school and got accepted to 3 separate nursing schools since we've started working with him.
How long does it take to train a dog?
It can vary. It can be as little as 6 months, sometimes a year to a year and a half. It all depends on the dog, and more importantly, it depends on the veteran. If we have a veteran that's very willing to put in the work, because it does take work on their part, then we can get them through in 6 months. The hardest part for our vets is if they don't have a dog and we introduce them to a dog that's gone through our training process, we then will let them have the dog for 30 to 60 days to be able to bond and to see if it's going to work. Because sometimes the bond just doesn't happen. And like we tell people, for us, it's more about the bond than the breed.
Mm-hmm.
Because we use all rescue dogs. We don't have a breeding program. We don't use a specific breed. We go to the animal rescues. We go to the animal shelter, and we start screening dogs. Mm-hmm. And all of our dogs have to be generally between the ages of 1 and 3 years. And we do make certain exceptions. If we get a puppy that shows promise, we'll take a puppy. We let them live with the dog for up to a year with us keeping in contact with them to make sure they're going to their counseling and stuff along that lines so that they can, you know, move forward. All of our dogs have to be between 40 and 60 pounds or bigger, because if you're thrashing around at night because you're having nightmares and you follow them, flying because you push them off you, it's harder to push a 40-pound dog off you than they jump up on you to wake you up.
Mm-hmm.
Back from the dark side. So we do it in that aspects with our dogs.
Are you looking to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and grow your wealth? Are you a real estate investor, stock trader, or business owner? If you answered yes, Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection Workshop is for you. Let hosts Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman teach you how to protect and keep more of what you earn. Our workshops are held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Two in-person tickets to the workshop are only $99. To learn more about the dates and locations, visit AndersonAP.com and register today.
Wow. And then during that 6 months, do you take the dog and like, are they coming to you, or how are you doing the training?
Well, what we'll do is with our training is we call it doggy boot camp or immersion training, where once they've had their 30 to 60 days with their dog, during that time frame, we make sure the dog is medically fit and sound and has all their shots and is healthy enough to be a service dog, because it takes a lot to be a service dog. Mm-hmm. We then put them into, like you said, our boot camp or immersion training, where they're gone for 6 to 8 weeks, like as if you're going to boot camp in the military. They're updated once a week with photos, and they're given a little bit of information about how the dog is doing, about how they're coming along in their training, and how they're progressing. Once I get notified my dog is ready with their good canine, their obedience, their advanced obedience, and with their specialized training, then we'll introduce the veteran back to the dog in a public place and give the veteran about an hour to 2 hours worth of lesson to ensure that the veteran knows the commands to give, to know how to handle the dog and how to move them forward. And we then let the veteran and the dog go back home. They work together for about a month to 2 months, and then they get another lesson. And then we let them have some more time together, and then we'll test them out.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, we put probably about 300 hours into every dog.
How many hours?
About 300, anywhere between 250 to 300. It just depends on the dog. Yeah. If the dog learns quickly, it's around the 250 mark. If they're a little slower, and we're generally up around the 300 mark.
So it's a long process.
Yeah.
How do the veterans find you, or do you go find them?
It's a little bit of both. We've been around long enough now that we actually get referrals from the VA here in Tucson, where if a veteran that they've been working with has a need, they'll refer them to our website, because we want everybody to go to our website through the oneveteranfoundation.org and then click on the request service dog tab. And when they do that, there's a form that they fill out, and it comes to us via email. We will generally send them back saying request has been received, and we'll print it out. We put it in our file, and as money becomes available, pull the next one in line. We then contact the veteran. We will then sit down and have a one-on-one interview to see if the expectations are realistic. Mm-hmm. Some people think that when you get a service dog that they're going to just be the most perfect animal in the world. They're still a dog, okay? They're still going to act like a dog. They're still going to have their good days, and they're going to have their bad days, just like people do. And so people need to understand that. When
you got good dogs, like I've been around yours, and
Yeah, Manifa's been a lifesaver for me. So she was one of the main reasons we started doing this, was because Manifa helped me tremendously. And if she could help me, there had to be others we could help. If we can pay it forward, we're going to pay it forward. And one of the things we ask our veterans to do is, we helped you, now go out and help two other veterans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if every one of my veterans goes out and helps two other veterans, let's say we've done 20, and now we've helped 60.
Yeah.
Because each one of them are going to go help too. And then each one of those that they help go and help too. And it's just a spider web that just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and being able to help spread the good. There's so much negative connotation around PTSD that people think that PTSD, you're automatically crazy and you're unsafe. And it's because they don't understand it. And I'll be honest, it took me a while to understand it. PTSD doesn't make you crazy. It means you're dealing with issues that most others don't. You are carrying baggage that you're unable to let go of. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we do is with the dogs, we have them name their dog after something that was traumatic or a place that was traumatic for them. And every time you conjure that name, brings a bad memory to life. So what we do is, by having them name the dog after something traumatic, and takes it from being really negative to a positive. Mm-hmm. You know, for the longest time, I couldn't say the name Manifa without getting teary-eyed or getting upset, because when I was overseas during Desert Storm, one of the places I was there, I had a dog there. And it was very difficult for me when I came back. With all the other stuff that went on during Desert Storm, my escape was this dog I had over there named Manifa. Mm-hmm. And Manifa wasn't able to come back stateside with me. It decimated me. So we named my dog Manifa, and it took me probably 4 to 6 months before I could say her name without getting some kind of a negative reaction from it. Mm-hmm. And now when I think of Manifa, I think of this wonderful little fur ball that I got. And she's a pit mix, American Bulldog mix. And she's one of the most loving, kind, caring dogs for me that I've had. Mm-hmm. You know, she, when I have a bad day, she listens. She'll come and put her head on my lap, and I just do what I tell her. It's an emotional vomit. You just get all the negative stuff out, and she doesn't care. She just listens. Loves on me, and she just lets me know that, hey, you know what, you're having a bad day, but I'm here. And David, that's what we do with our other dogs.
Have they done studies on the use of the service dogs? Because it seems like, so you actually had, sounds like about 20 service members who reached out and said, hey, I'm having issues and I need help. And this is the, and this is a method, like this seems to be like a very effective, and you're not the first one that I've heard this from, by the way. Yeah. This is something we've, this is why I'm very interested in your organization. But have they done studies on this and looked at what it does to the people in crisis by having these service dogs?
They've, according to the VA, there is no conclusive evidence that would suggest that this is an all-in-one fix. And tell people this is not an all-in-one fix. This is another tool in the toolbox to help build a better house. With us, we do require that they go through counseling and receive professional help along with the service dog by their side or their teammate. And we are finding that guys that have been going through counseling and working with their service dogs, their medication that they're receiving is being drawn back a little bit. So instead of taking, say, 100 milligrams of Prozac, or like 50 milligrams of Prozac, and they're working their way back, or whatever medicine that they're taking. There are some that they will never be able to be off their medication. It's just a chemical imbalance that they have, but the service dog helps to alleviate the amount of medication that they take. With me personally, I was a pinball for 20 years. Basically, after I got out, everybody was telling me that I had PTSD, and I was like, no, I don't. You guys are the ones that are crazy. And I started working with dogs, training them for truck driving, because I used to drive a truck for 18 years. When we got Manifa, I would say probably the first 6 months was really difficult, because everywhere I went, she went. And being in Arizona in the summertime, it's really hard for the dogs because it's like 180 outside on the asphalt.
Right.
So, I mean, it's like Vegas. It's like the surface of the sun someday.
Oh, it's a dry heat.
Yeah, it's a dry heat, but it still will melt your skin.
So's an oven. So's an oven.
Yeah. But like I said, we've had really good luck with our vets. We've had a few that didn't make it through our program because they didn't realize the amount of commitment that it does take when you have a service dog. When you take on a service dog, it's like taking on the responsibility of another life form, like a child or young adult. And you're dealing with them having good days and you having good days. Them having bad days and you having bad days. And generally, like when I have a really bad day, Manifa will pick up on it and she'll be by my side no matter where I go, which can be a little troublesome sometimes when you have to use the facilities and you don't need her. And then when we go out in public, you have a lot of people that, even though you have do not pet on the side of the vest, apparently can't read and they come straight at the dog. And so
they just can't see the knot. They do pet.
Yes. And so with Manifa, she was trained for me to back away from people. So when people see her, they think she's scared or that she's terrified because she's backing away, or she'll shake for like the first 5 minutes. And they're like, why is your dog shaking? I said, she shows what I feel. Mm-hmm. And for like the first 5 or 10 minutes, I walked in somewhere that's new. I get real jittery sometimes, and I'll just, inside I'm shaking and like crazy, but on the outside I'm perfectly stoic. Mm-hmm. And she'll shake like crazy for like the first 5 or 10 minutes, and then she calms down and she's like, what's up? She goes around and says hi to everyone. Mm-hmm. But every service dog we have is different. We have one named Ashley, who's a Vietnam vet, is the most social dog I have ever met in my life, because she thinks everybody was put on this earth for her. Mm-hmm. And with this veteran, with the job that he had, every year they have a national convention, and he's never been able to go to it. And when he went to the national convention, he took Ashley Monroe, because he's very formal with her. CEO of the company stood up and said, we have a very special guest here. And he goes, and I'd like to call up Miss Ashley Monroe. And we've got pictures of him and her strutting across the center of the floor in front of everybody. And the CEO announced that they were starting a national service dog program for their company, so that they would intentionally go out and hire veterans with service dogs to be able to work at the company, all because of what we did with Ashley and help that veteran out. So we've been really lucky in the aspects that we've had a much wider reach than we expected. We've had some really good luck with the veterans that we've had, because we've had a few that went really deep on the dark side. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to kind of get them back into the gray zone, and we're working with them to get them back into the light in that aspect.
It's amazing.
But a lot of these guys, like I said, they're amazing individuals, but because of all the negative stuff that's put out on the news and the TV about PTSD, people have a tendency to shy away from them, or because they've learned how to have to be a bully to get people on, instead of just being able to say, you know what, I'm having a bad day, can you give me this?
Yep.
You know, so they've learned, and people think that because you have PTSD, you're a jerk or whatever. And it's really sad, because they're missing out on a lot of really good.
I think people have a lot of fear of what they don't understand. And it's one of those things where, you know, here in Vegas, we have the monsoons. And when we have veterans here where the eyes look like saucers, you know, they get, as soon as that thunder starts, it's again, if you don't understand it, you're scared of it.
Yeah.
We've had that here. It's like so-and-so is shaking, and it's like, that's because they're dealing with some issues right now. I mean, it's just being understanding about it. But that I could see how having a service dog under those circumstances could make a huge impact.
Yeah.
Attention all real estate investors, business owners, stock traders, and anyone looking to get out of the rat race for good. We all know time is money, but did you know there's a wealth of resources on how to make more money, keep more money, and protect what you've earned, all for free online? Anderson Business Advisors YouTube channel offers free resources on asset protection and tax reduction from lawyers and CPAs, designed to help you keep more money in your pocket. To learn how to limit your liability, protect what you've earned, and minimize your tax burden all for free, subscribe to Anderson Business Advisors on YouTube today.
How many folks do you have on your waiting list right now, if you don't mind me asking?
Right now, we just had an influx. We're somewhere between 4 and 6 right now that are waiting. And so, I mean, we knocked the list down quite a bit over the past year. We actually have a dog in training right now for a Vietnam veteran. He named his dog Sergeant Major, which kind of cracks me up, because I guess him and his Sergeant Major had a negative effect on each other. But we've got another dog named Valkyrie that's waiting to go into training. As soon as the next spot opens up, Valkyrie will go into training. Uh-huh. And it was funny, because, I mean, it's not funny when you think about it, but I asked him, I said, why'd you name your dog Valkyrie? Because I have them explain to us why they named their dog what they named them. Mm-hmm. And when he was in the military, his job was to pick the dead for intelligence. And when people are killed in combat, they will sometimes have scraps of paper on them, or they will have intel on them. Well, he was in intelligence, so his job was to more or less pick the dead. Mm-hmm. Well, in the Norse religion, Valkyries are a winged warrior that comes down and gathers the dead and takes them to Valhalla. Okay. So he named his dog Valkyrie because it helped him to deal with the fact of what it was he had to do for his job to move forward to make sure none of the other men got hurt.
Oh my goodness.
So we have a dog named Valkyrie, and that was another one of our puppies that we got. She was a black lab pureblood that a breeder had actually donated to us for this specific veteran. Mm-hmm. And he, our, that veteran, he's an amazing guy. He's really, really struggling with daily life. But since Valkyrie has come into the picture, he's been able to be a better father. His wife said that he's actually sleeping in bed now instead of on the floor under a cover or on the couch, because he would have such horrific nightmares that he would become very violent in his sleep, and she would get elbowed or kicked by accident and stuff just from thrashing around. And he's made progress within probably 2 weeks of us introducing Valkyrie to him. He went from sleeping on the floor to sleeping on the couch. Mm-hmm. Some people, that's no big deal. To them, that's huge. Mm-hmm. You know, it was about 2 months after that he moved into the bedroom and he was sleeping on the floor by the bed with Valkyrie by his side. Because we have them put a small dog pallet or a dog bed by their bed. Mm-hmm. And so this way, when they're sleeping in bed, the dog is right by their side. Like with mine, with Manifa at night, if I'm having a bad day, she'll generally crawl up in bed with me and cuddle with me for about 10 or 15 minutes. And I just pet her as I watch TV and go to sleep. And in the morning, I'll wake up and she's gone over to my wife's side of the bed and curled up by her feet, because my wife is significantly shorter and has more room. But
smart dog.
No, she's smart, because it's like I'm 6'1 and 250 pounds, and my wife is like 5'2 and about 120 pounds. Mm-hmm. So there's a significant space difference in the bed where on my wife's side versus my side. But but yeah, like I said, we have them name their dogs after something that draws a traumatic image to their brain, and then it shifts that from a traumatic image to a positive image. And we've had pretty good luck in that aspect.
So are you're looking more for veterans, and you're looking for the dogs to place with them. So you're looking for both?
Yes. Well, right now we're playing catch up again. We do this periodically, where we'll get hit like we've been hit lately, where we'll get like 3 or 4 or 5, and we have to put them on a waiting list, because we have to wait for the money to come in. And like I said, if we go to California, we're able to train a dog for $2,500.
All right, so first off, you should understand our audience, they're rock stars. The people that listen to these, I already know a ton of them. They're some of the most giving people out there. So I have no doubt that if you need sponsors for 4 or 5 veterans, that you're going to have people reach out.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It's about $2,500 per veteran to get this done.
Yes. Yeah. We have 9 people on my board, and we're all volunteers. None of us draw a paycheck. Everybody does this out of the goodness of their heart. But our big time goal is we want to be able to raise enough money to buy a property that I can put kennels and a training yard on and some office space. Mm-hmm. And then I want to be able to go and rescue, say, a half a dozen dogs at a time, have my trainers work with them, get them to about 75 or 80% of their training level, bring the veteran in, introduce them to their dog, and then have the veteran, the dog, and my trainers work together for the last 20% of their training. And then when they graduate, dog is theirs for free. We don't charge our veterans for the dogs.
Right. So the veterans, not out of pocket. Your guys aren't drawing money. Like 100% of the money is going to the end result, which is to pair up a veteran with a teammate for the benefit of that veteran and society as a whole. I mean, frankly, we've left these folks behind, and it is something that, and I still remember when PTSD was not something that was a diagnosis. Like you,
no,
they always said, there's this.
It's been called shell shock, soldier's heart. I mean, it's been called many, many different things. And the newest manifestation of that is PTSD. Mm-hmm. And it's, like I said, what we're looking to do is if we can find donors that are willing to help us to buy the property, build the property, and stuff like that.
Wow.
We've recently had to expand, and I've had to bring on somebody as my operations director to take over the stuff, because it was becoming very overwhelming for me. So he's stepping in, and he's going to be reviewing and meeting the veterans and stuff, because we do have a Facebook page. We have a web page. We can be reached through either of them.
I'm going to post all of your contact online as a wish list. Are you looking for folks that have property in Tucson, or are you looking for people, like, would you be willing to work with anybody anywhere?
If the property, we want to be in the Tucson, Marana area. Mm-hmm. I live in Marana, Arizona, and there is some property that I've been kind of eyeing, but I don't know if they're willing to sell them yet. I haven't really approached them on that aspect, because we don't have the money to buy it. And so one of the things that we really want to do is you know, have a property where the veterans can stay overnight and stay there for a week if need be, or 2 weeks, however long you can get them to stay there. Our big goal is to be able to help veterans all over the country and have them fly into Tucson, pick them up, take them out to our buildings and our training area, let them stay there. Feed them, take care of, get them into counseling, have little one-on-one groups, because I found that being in a group with other veterans, they'll talk about things that they would never talk about with other people.
Right.
And by putting them in a situation where, you know, a veteran will call BS on another veteran in a heartbeat, listening for, and they know if somebody's making something up or if they're actually reliving something. And if they're reliving something, then they can relate to it. Mm-hmm. Because when you talk to a civilian that doesn't understand, and you tell them, hey, I went and I did this and I did that, now all of a sudden you're being judged. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be judged, especially things happen in combat that people would never think of and or never experience. But if you're talking with another combat veteran and he gets it because he's been there, you know, you may have been in Vietnam, I may have been in Iraq or Afghanistan or Desert Storm or whatever it is. While they're all different areas of the world, there's all that, you've got that unity of a shared experience, whether it was combat in Vietnam, combat in Desert Storm, or combat in Iraq and Afghanistan, you get it, horrible things happen. Yep. And you don't really pass judgment. You may say, hey, dude, all right, I get it. You went through hell, but that's BS. Or, hey, man, I get it. I've been there. I understand completely. Because veterans, over time, their memory of a certain thing can distort and it can become far worse in their mind than it actually was, or it will become far less in their mind than it actually was. And by having somebody that has a shared experience or a similar experience, they've got somebody that can understand and sympathize with them or empathize with them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I understand, man, I get the shakes too. Or for me, crowds really trigger my heightened awareness and I get hypervigilant. And another guy might be, whenever I hear a baby cry, I get hypervigilant. Some people are very tone sensitive or frequency sensitive versus visually sensitive or stuff along that line. You know, like somebody may be driving down the road and a white pickup truck may be coming at them and they just freeze up because when they were in Iraq, they were going down the road and a white pickup truck was driving by them and then blew up. So while at the time they're like, wow, that was horrible, and they move forward and they don't think about it, but years later, every time they see a white pickup truck in their mind, that truck was up. So yeah. We try to help them to get the help that they need, and service dogs come into play with when the human body goes into depression, anxiety, PTSD types moments, their body produces a different chemical smell. Mm-hmm. Dog is capable of smelling 100,000 different smells. So when the dog smells the hormone change or the pheromone change, the dog then goes into work and will draw their attention to the dog. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's coming up and put their head on their lap and just pet, something as simple as petting a dog, calm them down. It can lower their blood pressure, lower their anxiety level, lower their depression level. Just something as simple as petting a dog.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, but I mean, it takes a lot of effort to do that. Doesn't take much, right?
Yeah.
You got to actually put them in that scenario so you have somebody kind of watching.
Yeah.
No, first off, I want to say thank you for your service. I'd be remiss if I didn't do that. I'm sure on behalf of myself and in the audience. But number two is, I'm sure that there's going to be people or groups that hopefully want to help and want to help you sponsor. That's the way I would do it, is just say sponsor a veteran with a dog.
Yeah, if we can get somebody to sponsor a veteran.
And get together with your friends, make it a group, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be, I'm going to cut a check. There's lots of ways to help, I'm sure. But, you know, the fact matters that there are going to be expenses. And just to do that, and again, I've been worked with organizations where they build houses for the poor. And a lot of people would just say, I'm going to sponsor a house. Or a group would say, we're going to build a house. We're going to sponsor one. So it doesn't take a ton. In fact, somebody is just, hey, it's something you may have been giving to another organization.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're not, your church isn't as pretty right now, but you're helping out a veteran. So, you know, maybe divert some of those funds, but I'm just going to do that for you, Dave. I'm just going to say that it's every little bit. So, thank you for what you're doing. For the folks out there, it's onveteranfoundation.org to go in there. And I just want to say thanks for your service. Thanks for your time. Thanks for coming on, because I know this probably isn't the most fun thing for you.
Well, no, I've never done a podcast before. So this is all really new to me. And it's actually been really enjoyable. I mean, being able to get our message out to all the people that listen to your podcast is huge for us. And if any of your listeners are willing to donate to us, if you go to our webpage at oneveteranfoundation.org, we actually have a donation button on there.
Perfect.
And it's, if somebody wants to sponsor a dog or sponsor multiple dogs, it costs us about $2,500 per dog. Mm-hmm. And just know that every dollar you donate will most likely help us to help another veteran. Well, not most likely, it will go to help another veteran to get back into the real world.
And then what if there's organizations out there, since we work with a lot of veterans organizations, a lot of them are trying different means of accomplishing the same goal. Would they also be able to contact you through One Veteran Foundation, or is there contact information for you that you want to give out?
Yeah, they can email me personally. It's veteran@oneveteranfoundation.org. That is my email. It comes directly to me, so I am able to respond back. I generally respond back within 24 to 48 hours, depending upon what my work schedule is, because I do have to work. And we're able to get information out to them and get them a little bit more information if they just email me directly.
Dave, I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on today.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.